Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, it's a big afternoon welcome. It's the Rush Hour with Jude and Del. And guess what?
Gus is back.
Yeah, I'm back, baby. You know it. The skipper is back. Fair dinkum. Some of the stuff that I've been hearing coming out of you two clowns and that Elliot idiot. And who was there, buddy? Brendo yesterday, please. At least I know my job is safe.
Hey,
when you've got people like that who are replacing me.
I tell you what, some people limped into January. You were glacier-like into January this year, mate. Unbelievable. Have you back, though.
Thank you, mate. In all seriousness, thanks to Elliot and thanks to Brendo for stepping in. And, yeah, I've just been away in the UK visiting my daughter, Del, and very, very emotional goodbye, but we had a wonderful time, and I'll tell you all about it over the next week or so.
Well, I want you to tell us all about it, but I also know why you've got an extra spring in your step.
Mm-hmm.
Because your man, Steve Smith, he's been on fire.
Mate, what a decision to leave him out of the actual team for the T20 World Cup.
Ridiculous.
He was in the squad. They put him into one game.
Yeah.
I mean, they put David or whatever his name in.
Craig
they may
David,
as well have put
Craig David.
I'm walking away. May as well put him in the team. How much use he was. But, yeah, no, he's showing his class still. There's no doubt about that. And
well
the
done.
Sixers and the Scorchers look well above
everyone
all
else.
The other teams, don't they? But we're going to talk to Chris Minns in a moment. But just before we go to the break, I want to take you back to yesterday's show because I heard the podcast
on the
overnight.
Listener, yep.
Jude Bolton, give yourself an uppercut.
Oh,
Have a listen to this.
Back in the early 80s, very early 80s, I was 19 working for my father and we were putting up signage at the Pink Pussycat.
Oh, nice.
Dad being a little bit older.
Sorry, that was so seedy from Jude.
Brendo's right too there. The bloke talks about the Pink Pussy Cat, and then you all are gore.
Oh, nice. I thought it was going to be a juicy story.
We ever listen to it again?
Oh, nice. It ended up being 2 seconds of the creepiest radio we've ever produced.
Very, very creepy.
But that's the real Jude Bolton.
Oh,
everyone knows you.
Exactly. We know that. Anyone who knows you well.
Yeah.
He's a man vying to be the Premier of New South Wales, and today Labor leader Chris Minns has announced that if selected and elected, he will be bringing 3 blockbuster UFC pay-per-view events to the state. So let's have a chat to the man himself.
Our next guest is the second most famous politician from the Shire. Although if he'd crapped his pants and vomited at Engadine Macca's, maybe he'd be a bit more famous than ScoMo.
Stop it.
He was elected as the state member for Cogra in 2015. And then in 2021, he got the big call-up, running out in the starting lineup for the New South Wales State Opposition Leader. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, Chris Minns.
He's one of the truly good blokes in politics. G'day, Chris. How are you, mate?
Gussie, Jude, Wendell, nice to speak to you guys. Thanks for having me on. What an awesome intro.
Oh, mate, we work hard on those ones for you. What about this? You know that UFC is obviously much loved and we haven't had an event since 2011. So this could be big if you get elected.
Yeah, huge. So we've cut a deal with the UFC to bring 3 pay-per-views to New South Wales. There's like literally millions of fans in the state, particularly in Western Sydney. We've got a former world champion in Robert Whittaker. We've got current world champion in Alexander Volkanovski, and there's enormous support for it, but we want to bring it right back home to New South Wales, Australia's largest state.
Chris, it's Jude. I mean, you're on the front of the paper with Alex Volkanovski, one of our favourites, and I mean, what sort of amount would it cost us to bring this sort of event to the state, and how much income will it generate?
Yeah, we anticipate for the 3, it's $16 million, but for 1 UFC event in Victoria, it generated $120 million for the state. Ooh. And a massive amount of economic activity. We had a huge amount of Kiwis cross the ditch and come to Australia to watch the event. And you'd know from your social networks and from listeners, it's huge. It's got a huge support base, so it'll really drive name recognition and tourism opportunities for the state as well.
I know myself, whenever the UFC is on, and Volkanovski is a good friend of ours, came through the rugby league circle, so we love watching him. He's always very, he's just so open and honest.
He's a people's champion, isn't he?
He's a people's
champion. Literally, yeah.
And even for you now, like, what's the upside, do you think, that to having 3 of these big events here?
Yeah, I mean, there's something funny about UFC champions from Australia. Very humble, very respectful people, focused on discipline, and you'd know that, Del, that they've, there's a real sense amongst them that they've got a respect for the form and for mixed martial arts in particular. Alexander's just fantastic. I watched 3 Max Holloway fights. I remember seeing them on pay-per-view. And I know it would mean a lot to him because he's from New South Wales. He's from the Gong. And to actually fight and defend his title in his own state would be huge, whether it's the featherweight or whether it's the lightweight. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's just such a champion.
Mate, you've got a huge job ahead of you, obviously, with the election coming up, and you've got your own electorate to look after. You've got sons at home and so forth. What's it been like, school holidays? How do you get the balance right between the work and the play?
Mate, I haven't seen him for a long time.
Could be a good thing.
School holidays are too long, Chris.
I woke up this morning and one of them had cleared out and went down the beach to Cronulla. So, yeah, it's a bit ships passing in the night, but I'm lucky I've got a good wife there who's carrying the load. Hopefully she's not listening or I'm in big trouble, actually.
Are there any other major events that you're looking to pinch or to think about or proposing in your electorate term?
Yeah, watch this space. I mean, I think there's a bit of a sense that the other states are really keen to nick major events, whether it's sporting events or cultural events for their state. And you'd know that the latest pay-per-view UFC is over in Perth. Mm. That's where Volkanovski's going to defend his title. So we can't just rest on our laurels. We've got wonderful beaches. We've got the harbour, Australia's biggest state, Australia's biggest city. But if you don't watch these other states, they'll come in and nick the big events, and I want them for New South Wales. I think that we host them better than anywhere else. We're really the only international state and the international city around the world, and we need to make sure that we live up to that reputation.
Mm. Mate, I know you're from the St. George area. Are you a Dragons man or do you follow someone else, mate?
Del, I go for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, that happens. I don't mind. I think the Bulldogs are on the way up. I was going to say.
The Bulldog sombrero.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How's your salary cap going, brother? What is going on?
Well, mate, Cameron's Geraldo's going to turn it all around, so I can't wait to have him on board. And they're recruiting like crazy.
I think Gus has been talking to Nick Politis, brother.
Oh, yeah, you got the Rooster sombrero. I think they've passed it over to the Bulldogs.
Gus is extremely persuasive. We know that. Can't wait for 2023. No, the Bulldogs are coming back strong. You know, this is one of the things. I'm the member for Cogra. I live across the road from Jubilee Oval, but Wendell, you know, you can't change teams. You've got to pick and stick.
100%. No, and that's the thing. The Bulldogs are going to go well this year. They've got to get back to their grassroots. That's their juniors. They've always had a big, strong junior base. So they've bought some high-profile players, but if the Dogs are going to be competitive, which they will be, they've got to go back to their junior base.
Yeah. Now, Chris, all the best to you, mate, and look forward to obviously helping in any way we can. Just get your thoughts out to everyone that listens to our show in the lead-up to the election, and all the very best to you, mate.
I love coming on the show, boys, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Chris Minns there could be the Premier in March this year. It has had many alter egos, Devon, Fritz, Bologna, but there's always been one constant with the humble manufactured meat roll. It was cheap as chips. Well, the price of the classic school lunch box staple has hit nearly $10 a kilo, just as parents are stocking up on supplies for the new school year.
$10 a kilo?
Woolies have it at $9.85 a kilo, Jude, and at Coles, $9.80 a kilo. So basically $10 a kilo I don't even really know what Devon is. Like,
yeah, it's manufactured meat, isn't it?
It's manufactured meat. So what does that manufactured mean?
Well, you know what? If you don't ask, people don't tell. And that's what I like because I like it and I went and bought some before. And,
okay.
It's still good. In there.
Well, right in front of you. And yeah. You've made us up a Devon roll.
I prepared, yeah.
What
prepared.
I love most about it, you've got the lure pack on the butter, mate. That's very posh.
Yeah, my son taught me that. I didn't care about it. I love butter.
Yeah.
Tristan taught me the lure pack. Was
bit
nice.
Of Tommy sauce. Send that over to you.
Yeah, so do you always have sauce? I haven't had one of these since I went to school.
Definite sauce, absolutely.
Do you mind, Jude, that everyone could have one rather than just you hogging it all?
Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah. I'm just ripping into this. I haven't had one of these for ages.
I know.
Pass over to Gus, please.
So we're having a Devon roll. We're going to throw it out there on 133.53. What are your sort of favourite sort of school lunchtime snacks, whether or not you bought it at the tucky or the canteen, plenty of sauce and loop
exploding out there,
or whether or not mum and dad, you know, pack something up, or grandma packed up your lunch pack nicely.
I love the crinkle cut sort of Smith's crisps. Like yes. You just go the chips, and you know, back of chips would be salt and vinegar every day.
Sam Boy,
or one of those. Mm. Just smash that out. Or back in the day when you could have a peanut butter sandwich before any allergies.
You're not allowed to have that now?
No peanut butter near schools these days.
Really?
Yep, too many allergies.
I used to love, when I used to go to school, you know, I used to be pretty popular at school and everyone used to love me and stuff. Are you right, mate? Mm. And then if I didn't have enough lunch, Yeah. Some of my friends will always offer me like a piece of chocolate cake or something. So
nice.
I'd be, yeah, like, I just.
My mum used to make a roast up on a Sunday. Used to cut up the roast beef, put it in white bread sandwiches with a little bit of mustard and tomato sauce. Then she'd freeze them.
Yes.
And rather than I just went to the freezer on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Grabbed them, put them in our lunchbox, normally a mandarin, some sultanas, maybe a space food stick.
Oh,
very something like that.
What? Space what?
Have you never had a space food stick?
No.
What?
Those cheese sticks and that, I used to have those. You know,
yeah, very similar to that, but they were caramel and chocolate. And,
no, I've never had
they were delicious.
Hey, did they feed you up at the front of the plane? Like, you've absolutely hoovered that.
Yeah.
It's delicious, this Devon sandwich. So we're throwing it out there on 133353. What is your favourite lunchtime memories, you know, from school time? We threw it out there, the Bogan sandwich, basically, which is Devon white bread, tomato sauce. We've just served one each. Absolutely beautiful.
Delicious.
Used to be, you know, cheap as chips, they say. Yeah. Now it's nearly $10 a roll in Coles and in Woolworths. So we threw it out there on 133353. What's your favourite school lunch memories? We've got Lee on the line. G'day, Lee.
G'day, mate. Yeah, just on Norfolk Island last November, about mid-November, 23.99 a kilo for Devon, mate.
What?
$24. What? That's highway robbery.
That is. Mate, they should have their balaclavas on.
Did you get some, Lee? Did you get some?
No. I didn't bother. wasn't game the price of the ham, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Good on you, Lee. Thanks a lot, mate. Let's speak to Richie. G'day, Rich.
G'day, boys. Yeah, back in the 90s, we used to go to the tuck shop and you get a white bread roll, then you put a sausage roll in it, then you put some chips on it, and then you lather it in gravy, and the tuck shop ladies used to call it the snag buddy.
And
have a couple of them, well, one of them, after you had went home for lunch, had a bit of alfalfa and then come back to school, you'd have a great old time.
Beautiful, Richie.
Thank you,
Let's
Richie.
Let's go to Jeff. How are you, Jeff?
Just the chicken, you know, chicken loaf like that, the old Devon roll on your fingers in the hot sun for 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, yes.
The chicken loaf.
I know what you mean, chicken loaf.
Throw a bit of tomato on it, and then, you know, it's a good combination.
There was no chicken, there was no chickens harmed in making the chicken roll, was there?
The worst thing is finding them after school holidays in the bag. Yeah. It's just like it's mouldy. Oh, not good.
Give
not
me the dog.
What about Jace said, Jace? What about your school lunches memories? Oh, we've got some of those, haven't we?
Mate, I'm telling you, Mum used to give me 50 cents to grab a couple of Sunny Boy ice box, the old pyramid different things.
That's how good. Hard to get into, but beautiful once you got into them.
Yeah.
Like 50 cents was 25 cents each, one for me and one for my sister. I can't always guarantee my sister found hers.
It can happen, mate. Appreciate it.
Do you know what another good one was? When you finish school and that, like an after school you go, like, to the BP service station and you want to have, like, 80 cents, so you get, like, 50 cents worth of chips and then white bread with some butter and a chip sandwich.
Mate.
Oh, it's so good.
20 cents worth of mixed lorry is a big deal for me, too. Yeah. And what about the pineapple donuts back at the old canteen or tuck shop?
Yeah, they were good.
Remember those?
Then with the jam donuts and the finger buns or what are they called? Coffee roll, yeah. Coffee
good roll. Old school stuff. Time now to talk to this man. Yeah, we're talking to Trevor Long. He's from EFTM.com, and we're talking about this absolute debacle
Lord
Howe Island, all about the website being hacked, porn, all sorts of stuff happening.
Lordy, lordy.
Nice one, Jude. How are you, brother?
I knew Lord Howe was a good place to go, but a little bit more enticing for some people, I reckon.
What has happened up there, brother?
So basically, they've got a website like many other small businesses, and like many websites, I reckon every day, there'd be people listening today who probably should check their websites. They've been hacked. It's not because they were targeted, most likely. It was probably just that their domain name was running a particular bit of software and it was vulnerable, and they've just been absolutely hammered by it because they've added all these malicious links and, salacious links as well.
Yeah. Trevor, first Optus and then Medibank and now Lord Howe Island. I mean, what's going on? Why is Australia such a target for some of these hackers?
Well, straight off, I'd say I wouldn't put this in the same category because this is the kind of thing that literally, like my mum's pub had the website breached like this as well a few years ago. It's just if you don't really spend the time upkeeping your website, then you're vulnerable to this stuff. Mm. And unfortunately, it's not a targeted thing. It's not an Australia thing. It's just you put up a website on probably a free hosting platform. It's very affordable. It's very easy to do, but it doesn't have the security that you really do need, especially when you've got that high profile presence of being an actual tourist destination.
Mm. Well, we're talking about cybersecurity now. In this day and age, surely they're blue chip now. You know, the best of the best. Surely there's a lot of work coming in for these guys now, the cybersecurity teams.
I know a mate who's just moved into cybersecurity a couple of years ago, earning more money than he would ever have imagined because they need these people. If you've got kids, get them into studying cybersecurity because this is the job of the future. They're the tradies of the future because think about Lord Howe, right? They've had this thing. They've had to ring someone and get that sorted in the same way that you have to get your plumbing sorted when there's a leak. Do you know what I mean? Like it's literally as important today. So it's the trade of today and the future because this stuff's not going to slow down. It's going to keep happening.
Why do the hackers win at the moment? Because at the moment they are definitely dominating, aren't they? We seem to be very reactive and they're the ones that are leading the way.
Criminals are always one step ahead, Gussie. That's the problem. You know, even if you're the law enforcement police are one step ahead of you. Now and then we have a good win on our side.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the hackers are always going to have more wins than losses. And this is just a warning. It's a reminder to everyone, especially small businesses. And I'll be a little bit specific here. WordPress. That's the back end that runs these websites. And I checked the Lord Howe website runs on it. If you're running a website, a small business website on WordPress, and you're not continually updating it and checking for security updates, you're vulnerable.
Are there any other tips for average Aussies just to keep their info safe?
Regularly change your passwords. That's a really important thing to do because your password might have got discovered a couple of months ago in Optus, and now it could be somewhere else. So you've got to change your passwords regularly. And where you can, turn on what we call two-factor authentication. That's that SMS message you get saying, here's your password. So that basically, even if I read out my password here on the radio, you couldn't get into my accounts because you need to have my mobile phone as well.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, mate. EFTM.com is where we get all the information. You are the best in the business, brother. Thanks for your time today.
Cheers, boys. No worries.
There you go, Trevor Long, boys. We're all back together again for the first time in 2023.
Yeah.
It's so good to have you back, mate. But what about you choosing a short week to return as well? Yeah. He's the best, Alex.
Took Monday off.
Yeah, very Wendell Saylor-like.
Thursday off. I'm learning from some of the best. This is the Rush Hour. Follow us on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M. Going to be talking you through over the next couple of weeks a few things that have been happening over in the UK. So I went across there to spend some time with my daughter, Ella.
She's been living over there for a while.
She's been there 14 months, and I haven't seen her in that time. She's got a great place in Battersea, living with a couple of great friends, a couple of other Aussie girls. So went across here after doing the cricket, had a couple of weeks. I said, babe, I want to take you to a West End show, which is the theatrical part of London, very beautiful part of the world. And she goes, I want to see Moulin Rouge. And I went, well, I definitely want to see Moulin Rouge. If people don't know the story, it's basically beautiful looking men and women with not a lot on.
Well, that's good.
Girls in particular. So the show starts and it's just quite amazing. What happened for me that night is I took my wife and my daughter to this really nice Mediterranean restaurant in the West End, which I'd worked out was quite close to the theatre so we could have a few drinks and so forth. But what I didn't work out is exactly where the theatre was from the restaurant.
Okay.
So I walked in the wrong direction.
Oh, my goodness.
And it got to the point where I'm thinking, this is just wrong.
It's not the West End anyway.
And my daughter goes, but, Dad, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, Ella. Trying to be, as if I know what I'm doing. And eventually we're walking 15 minutes away. She looks up on the map things and goes, Dad, I'm sorry, but we need to get in a cab or we're not going to make it. This was about 7:15.
You surely haven't walked that far.
We only left the bar at about 6:30, 6:35. We walked 10 minutes in the wrong direction. Anyway, we hailed down a cab and Ella sits in the front of a London cab, which you really can't do.
You're not allowed to, it's illegal.
And says to the bloke, we'll give you an extra £5 if you can get us to this particular theatre just before 7.
Yeah.
Well, this bloke had the taxi on two wheels.
Oh, yeah.
He went up on top of the curbs. He went through a wrong direction and Ella was riding him the entire way. It was hilarious. We sort of turn up at the theatre, jump in the line, sit in our seats. Happy days, right? We're a couple of minutes to spare.
Lewis Hamilton got you there.
Literally. He was about 80 years old, this bloke. It was like a thrill of his life to take this challenge on. Sat down. Vix and I together, one seat behind us, Ella. So we're about 10 minutes into the show and it's fantastic. It starts off explosive, great music, dancing, the women incredible.
What are you doing with your hands? Listeners can't see that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of something.
Yeah, there's a lot. Creepy. There was a lot very going creepy. On. I was alert.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Ella then sort of starts tapping me on the shoulder after about 15 or 20 minutes, and she points to the middle of the theatre where a guy and a girl are as if it's 3 o'clock in the morning in a nightclub and they're in the dark.
Like eyes locked on each other or
they
all
are
over each other?
Full on kissing and his hands
yeah.
are
yeah.
wandering.
Handsy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no.
Very handsy, right?
Handsy
Cronje. Touch of the handsies. Yeah. And so everyone to the couple of seats to the right or left of these people are starting to get a little bit embarrassed, right? And they're sort of looking away and but they can't look away because it's sort of like a bit of a show going on. Then, in the most delicate way that I can explain this, he leaves the top half of her body and he goes to another area lower.
Oh, my goodness.
In the middle of the theatre, absolutely 100% on my 3 kids' life, I'll put my hand on my heart.
Yep.
That's happening.
You went for a dinner and a show. You didn't expect that show.
Well, that bloke had a dinner and a show at the show.
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable what was happening to the point where the two people to either side of them got up, walked out, found the manager.
Yeah.
They didn't stop the show, but they did everything they possibly could to actually get them to stop doing what the bloke was doing.
Yeah.
It's like they completely lost where they were.
Yeah.
And everyone in the theatre's looking around, everyone's getting up. There's some people obviously quite upset by it.
Makes it awkward.
I was trying to get a better angle. To what's going on.
You and Jim Bolton.
But has that ever, like, would that have happened anywhere else in the world?
No.
Ever?
No, I don't think so.
We're at a West End performance and this bloke's...
In the middle of it.
Well, anyway. It's probably the theatre, like the theatre of being there, the Moulin Rouge.
Oh, he's completely off his you-know-what.
Yeah.
You can tell that. So eventually they pulled them out.
Raunchy show, though. It would have been a very raunchy show.
Yeah, but weren't watching it. They were just playing their own role in that. So the manager comes over, grabs them both, and at halftime, at the intermission, says, you're out.
Yep.
And the bloke goes, there's no effing way I'm going to miss the second half. And the bloke goes, yes, he is. The cops came the whole bit, and they were shafted out the fire exit, a bit like you in Vegas when you were sent out your way. So just quite an incredible
crazy
evening.
Unbelievable.
Crazy stuff.
There you bloody go.
Yeah.
The English trying to be all posh and stuff, and there they are. Everyone, we've got holidays coming up. We've got the Australia Day. Double demerits are back and they're in force from midnight tonight. So it's an extra day each end of the actual day
off. They've extended it.
They've extended it. And of course they have.
Yeah.
Drivers are urged to keep in mind that mobile phone detection cameras are now active and drivers caught using their phones during double demerit points were hit with a $352 fine, $469 in school zones, but even more important, 10 demerit points. Yeah, you can nearly lose your entire license in one fell swoop. It's dubbed Operation Australia Day.
Oh, please.
It's a pretty ordinary name. Law enforcement officers will be ramped up on patrols on the lookout for drivers breaking the rules. Cutting through a petrol station, skip a red light. I think we've all done that. $349 and 3 demerit points.
What?
Toot the horn and wave goodbye. 3 demerit points and $698. Are you serious?
Toot the horn and wave goodbye.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
That's un-Australian not to be able to toot your horn and say goodbye. Car unattended with the engine running. $349, but no points. That seems ridiculous too. Mm. Throw an apple core, a banana peel from your car, $450, but no points.
These guys, honestly.
And spare a thought, boys, for people in other countries.
Yeah.
Here are some odd things that are illegal. It's illegal to be overweight in Japan unless you're a sumo wrestler.
No.
Oh, I wouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, why are you looking at me for?
No,
I'm struggling a bit at the moment, but please.
I'm not, mate.
I'm going to be back. First to Feb, I'm starting again.
You must
walk your dog 3 times a day in Turin, Italy. That's
three
a good one.
3 times a day?
Yeah.
Your dog hasn't been walked in ages.
Oh, yeah.
It's illegal for chickens to cross the road in Quitman, Georgia.
Oh.
They're crazy, the Americans, aren't they? Idiots as well. You're not allowed to kiss on a train platform in France.
Oh, that's...
As if you can't tongue-pash.
That's romantic.
That's when you're saying goodbye to your mates.
This is not real.
That's France. That's France. Well, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
It's illegal to flush the toilet. It's illegal to flush the toilet after 10 p.m. in Switzerland.
Oh, that's a joke, mate.
But what about this one?
If
this
it's takes yellow,
the cake.
If it's
again,
yellow, let it mellow. What is it?
Oh.
Yeah, if it's brown, flush it down.
Yeah.
It's illegal to pass wind in a public place in Florida after 6 p.m. So you can drop your guts at 5:59, but at 6 p.m., all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, no, we can't be doing that.
I'll tell you what, MG would be in trouble because MG just drops willy-nilly.
No, you and your protein shakes, don't worry about that. Look out.
I'm going to be on those too soon.
Oh, really?
So look out for me. There's so much going on around the game of rugby league, Jude.
Yeah, Dell, he's an absolute legend. Rugby league immortal. Wally Lewis has decided to step away from his sports presenter role at Channel 9 to prioritise his health.
Does he do the sports news on Channel 9 up in Brisbane?
Yes, he does.
And has done that for
everyone a day, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and he's just announced that he'd instead pursue other opportunities within the Nine network, as well as focus on community and charity work. What are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, he's been an institution up there in Brisbane and Queensland and just in rugby league in general. As soon as Wally Lewis's name comes up, I think he won 8 or 9, you know, men of the matches in Origin. But just,
well, let's not go there because he used to get it by just playing.
Yeah, I know. But, mate, when you're – even the commentary box last year for Triple M, so when we heard that Wally was coming on to Triple M, when you and Giles told us, I was like, everyone was excited, Dan, MG and that. But he's such a great man, well-respected. And when he walked in Triple M and did the commentary, mate, it's just one of those things, you know, as a child – you just go, mate, you're working with the King, Wally Lewis. So
yeah, he's earned the right to have that royalty stamp, hasn't he?
Yeah, and don't forget, he suffered with epilepsy too, so he's got that sort of stuff too. So well done to Wally. Good on you, mate. We love you.
We saw that Fox Sports picked up a comment you made yesterday around rugby league legend Wayne Bennett and obviously the super coach, and you just basically mentioned he's not what he used to be in terms of following the Dolphins' failed pursuit of a marquee star. Has he lost the magic? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the landscape's changed a little bit now, you know. I think he needed a 2-year lead-in, but I think Wayne obviously knows too. I think he's probably surprised that he hasn't got a marquee signing, you know.
So he has lost it?
Yeah, I think he has lost it a little bit, yeah. So yeah. That happens sometimes. And obviously Penrith are the new kids on the block. And as a coach goes, I still love Wayne better and I love what he does for the game. But I think he's going to find it a little bit harder the next year or two now. Especially
what about the Bulldog Panthers going on?
Oh, mate. Oh.
I mean, Gus Gould, I mean, how are they under the salary cap?
I don't know, I know. But it's one of those things where...
Oh, mate.
They haven't really done anything yet, so let's just see what they do, eh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The NRL have brought in a $100,000 incentive for clubs to take pre-season games seriously. I know that Fox are going to be doing them as proper games, and I like that. That's sort of good lead-in for their commentators. I was talking to Dan about it during the summer. He goes, we're using this as really good practice, you know, to sort of learn the new players and the new numbers and all that sort of jazz. I think it's fantastic, but is $100,000 enough for clubs to take pre-season seriously?
No, it's not. Mate, look, you know, there's two challenges back in the day. You know, they used to take them seriously, and then there's too much wear and tear with the players now, so...
You're focused on round one, isn't it? You're just getting a bit of minutes, get your touch and get in.
And you're resting your big dogs, you know, you're letting them come back in. Look, the World Cup was just on, so, you know, you're not going to play Teddy in a troll. If Teddy needs half a game before it, no matter how much money you want to pay, the big thing is minor premierships and then obviously premierships, but, yeah, there's no way that this is going to be a focus for them.
What about Marty Tapau? He's got a 1-year deal at the Broncos after being left out of club after exiting Manly. Is that a good signing for the Broncos and good signing for him personally?
I think it's a good signing each way because Marty Tapau, we know how powerful and how big he is, but I just think along the way he has to play consistently where he should be. Obviously, he's an international player. I'm glad he's at the Broncos too because I think he has an opportunity to take the boys forward. He's got Payne Haas there, Flegler. He's got who's the other young bloke that was... That was there. Who got
from the Broncos?
Yeah,
couldn't care less.
No.
What?
Carrigan or whatever.
Yeah, Carrigan. Carrigan. Mate, those players. When you get someone of that ilk and that experience, you can take them to another level. So, and Adam Reynolds will get them around there. But I think Marty Tapau, as a Broncos man, mate, well done. I just think it'll be good for him. 1 year. Kevy's got it. 1 year to prove himself.
I hope the Dolphins come last and I hope the Broncos come second last.
Chooks have got them round one.
Oh, mate.
We'll give the Dolphins an absolute touch up. We're talking now about unfortunate names because we don't normally cover the Kardashians, but let's talk about this. Kylie Jenner, who's the youngest sister apparently, she's revealed her 11-month-old son's name is called Ayre.
Spelt A-I-R-E.
Yep, but it's pronounced A-I-R. But the internet has gone crazy because it's in Arabic. The word is pronounced a bit differently and the slang word is penis. There are so many unfortunate names out there. The guy who works here at Triple M is known as Mark Arena.
Every time someone says
what's his name? Mark Arena!
Oh, yeah.
Del dancing.
Back in the day, mate, this song.
It's a commander in America called Chris P. Bacon. So Chris P, middle Bacon, name Bacon.
Yeah.
Mike Hunt is a name that obviously is...
Sorry.
You want to be super difficult. You want to make sure you get that right. A mate of mine at school was called Dick Long.
Yep. Yep.
Richard. It was Richard Long, surely.
His name was Dick Long. Dickey. there's some rude ones out there. We want us to give us a call on 133353. Unfortunate names that your mates have or you went to school with or that you heard of. Have you had any boys?
Oh, mate, someone, they probably used to call me Sexual Chocolate. Like,
we're not talking about you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And we're not talking about what girls say to you in the bedroom. We're talking about like proper names.
No, I'm joking. No, that was just
mate, I saw one
Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah. I saw one on the news last night.
Don't wink at me like that.
I saw one on the news last night. It was some story out of Northern Territory, but it was the commander was, his name was Danny Bacon, and it was the police commander chief or whatever.
Yes.
His name was Danny Bacon, the copper.
I saw that.
Always born.
What about this bloke?
To be one.
Mike Litteris.
No.
Oh, yes.
Mike Litteris.
No.
Yes.
Litoris.
Yeah.
Plenty of calls to get.
Plenty of calls. This is, it's lit up.
Okay. Right in the wheelhouse.
Hey, it's lit up for everyone to know. We've got a board in front of us when people phone in. It is lit up.
Yeah.
You can't get any more calls in, so we're going to add some extra lines.
Yeah.
We have to double check them before they go to air, though. But this is going to be a little bit of fun. And there's plenty of callers coming through about unfortunate names. The Kardashians name their son Air.
Yep.
A-I-R, which apparently is in Arabic. It's slang for penis.
Penis.
And there's plenty of different ones out there, and we've got a full board to get through. Let's start the ball rolling with Nathan from Penrith. G'day, Nath.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good brother. What's yours?
So there's a guy that's a team principal of Aston Martin for Formula One. His name's Mike Crack.
I don't mind that. Mike Crack, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Let's go to Peter. How are you, Peter?
Yeah, how you going?
What's your unfortunate name?
Gaming minister, and his name was Richard Face. Dick Face.
Dick Face. Yes.
He was the New South Wales collie.
That's like Dell's mate, the old World Anti-Doping Agency, Dick Pound, remember?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dick, how you going, buddy?
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, mate, a long time ago. Hey, James, mate, what about your nickname there, mate? Have you got one for us? James?
Lumpy.
Oh, Lumpy. Sorry, Lumpy. I've gone a bit early there. It's unlike me.
Hello, Lumpy, you there, mate?
How are you, gents? I went to school with a girl, and her surname was Farkas, and her Christian name is Carmen. So it was Carmen Farkas.
Oh, my goodness.
She couldn't wait to get married, but I've actually got another mate in mind, and his name's Wayne Kerr.
Oh, yes. Oh, mate, let's go to James now. James, mate, I know you've got one for us here, mate. Gus, you all right, mate?
Yeah. I'm trying to get breath. Good on you, Lumpy.
James.
Hey, fucking show. Went to school with a guy by the name of Ben Dover.
Oh, yes. How good. I wonder how he's there.
Thank you, James. Let's go to Christy now in Carlingford. G'day, Christy. Finish it off for us.
So my last name is Hiscock.
Yep. Hiscock, yes. Christy Hiscock. Look at
Hiscock. Christy Hiscock, yes. That's not bad.
Is that your is that a married name, do you think? Or
ask her.
She's gone, brother.
She's gone.
Have you got your breath back yet?
Oh, mate, so funny.
You almost brought up your Devon sandwich there.
Time now to talk to this man.
Our next guest grew up on the mean streets of Sydney's northern beaches, where neighbourhood drive-bys were commonplace. Yes, that's it. Number 42, slow down. You in there? Your bin has been out for too long. Collection was Tuesday. Okay, drive, Niles, drive. But he turned it all around, fronting one of Australia's best rock bands. And over 43 years, they've played to pretty much the entire population of Australia with 8 studio albums and thousands of gigs. Please welcome lead singer of the Choir Boys, Mark Gable.
Yeah, he's an absolute ripper. And it's 35 years since Run to Paradise, boys. And we've got
incredible.
A beer in front of us that we're going to crack in just a moment when the show is done and dusted. And we've got the man on the line. G'day, Mark.
Oh, how you going, you three?
Really well, Mark.
Mate, we are really, really, really well.
that was a really scary intro, you know, like the what was it, the rough streets of the northern beaches of Sydney. I don't remember that bit, but anyway.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, mate. This beer, Paradise Beer, it looks an absolute ripper. We've got it in front of us. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's in a can, right, and you pull the tab on it and you drink it, and then the funny thing, when you drink it, you go, yeah! Bloody run to paradise, mate! What a ripper! It's actually made by Bucketty's a brewery, which is down in Brookvale, right where I grew up. Or not right, I grew up on the hill there, down in the pits, right? But yeah, so it's like very local, you know, and it's like funny going there, and you know, we were there just a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago checking out the beer is being made. And it's pretty strange. You go, I used to walk past here to go to school.
Yeah.
Mark, there's
and a... now they're making a beer after a song that I wrote, you know, so that's weird.
It's awesome.
Mark, there's a real little hub down there, isn't there, of all the breweries and Bucketty's is one of those. But were you involved in the brewing process at all?
Yeah, we gave it a shot. Yeah, you know, I had no idea, but they got these funny, weird-smelling brown pellet things that look like you would feed. So I don't mean to turn people off. It looks like you'd feed a cat or something, you know, or your dog. And I'm like going, you know, what is this stuff? And they tell me it wouldn't make any sense to me. And we were pouring it in the vats and stirring it around. I mean, they actually, you know, it's not like just like you buy a beer and, you know, it's just made by, you know, a machine. You actually have to physically do things. I was quite shocked. You had to work.
Mark, I got to say, when I was growing up, I used to love my music, and I was more an R&B guy. But then when the Choir Boys Run to Paradise, that was like when I was at footy in that. That was like my song. I was going, yeah, about the boys being together. Where did that song come from? And how did you write that?
Well, oddly enough, it was written about all the young people on the northern beaches when I was growing up getting really drunk and wasted, you know, and it was like, you know, just the excess of, you know, of people drinking and, you know, smoking dope, you know, and doing things like that. And it was all about that, which I wasn't into at all. Like I turned 18 and I was at the Manly Hotel. No, it's true. I was at the Manly Hotel and I had my first, you know, like, schooner, and I went outside and crashed into a garbage can. I went, yeah, I think I'll give it a break for a bit.
It's 35 years. It's an incredible milestone. I mean, do you still love playing it with all live gigs?
I do. You know, maybe there's something wrong with me because all the hip bands and hip artists go, I refuse to play my hits, you know. Mm. And there's quite a few of them out there. So maybe there's something wrong with it. I just love it. You know, I love doing the song. I've always loved playing it, and I've always loved the reaction. I mean, from the moment that we released the song, people responded so positively to the song. We're talking 35 years, amazing. You know, so it's an amazing occurrence that you can actually do it at festivals and to get a broad spectrum of age groups and to get like, people who are 18, you know, young screaming like it's the Beatles, you know. And it's more for the song than the band. You know, it's an amazing thing to happen. Call it luck, call it what you will. It was like, who knew? I didn't know that it would be like up to 55 million streams on Spotify.
Wow.
Back when I wrote it, well, Spotify wasn't around then, was it? Or the internet, no, you know. Yeah, it was all way back, yes.
No, mate, we love it, and we play it here. We've been playing it for 35 years, and the Choir Boys will be playing it for free this Saturday night at Bucketty's in Brookvale. For details, go to bucketty's.com.au. We'll put it on our socials as well. Mark Gable, you are Triple M royalty, mate. Thanks for joining us again, and enjoy the beer and enjoy Saturday night.
Yeah, looks awesome.
I will, and thank you for Triple M for always being there. You guys are the greatest, and girls are the greatest. You know, Triple M rocks.
It certainly does, Mark. Good on you, big fella.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.